The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Telly time, Louise Duffy is with us, presenter of Lots of Music into here on Today FM, and Aoife Barry, assistant news editor of thejournal.ie, is with us. And Louise, I'm delighted to hear you're a big fan like I am of a series which returns in Sky Atlantic this week. Billions.
That is so exciting. It's back, Series 3. You surprised me with that. I knew it was coming, but it's this week.
I believe it's this weekend.
It's tomorrow on Sky Atlantic.
Yeah.
Very exciting, because it just ended, it just ends as it did the season previous to that on such a cliffhanger. These two men are so
don't
wrapped
up. Don't give away too much of it now for those
really so, like, you so know, good, it's on the list, so don't ruin it now for
it's me. It's just the dialogue, the actors, it's an incredible production. The story is just so compelling, and I'm so excited.
And it's such fun
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, they're so horrible in their acts to bring the other person down.
So just to explain, this is a district attorney, or maybe it's a different type of role.
Yeah.
Paul Giamatti, who is absolutely brilliant. Mm. Axe Capital, run by the character Bobby Axelrod, played by Damian Lewis, with a brilliant American accent, or New York, New Jersey accent. And of course then, Giamatti's wife actually works for Axe Capital to complicate it all.
So they're completely embroiled in each other's lives, and there is just this deep-rooted hatred, and Bobby Axelrod is—he rubs Chuck's face in it all the time, and then Chuck is prepared to lose everything to bring him down. It is a ferocious hatred.
And they're both extremely rich as well, so there's all wealth and power and everything. Are we getting you interested, Aoife?
Very much so. I like this idea of wealth, power, people being mean to each other. Not in real life, I don't like it, obviously, but in telly, it's great to watch.
Actually, you know, we're going to play a clip. This is from season one, and this is where the two main characters, played by Damian Lewis and Paul Giamatti, confront each other at Axe Capital. I better warn you, there is strong language throughout, so don't say you weren't warned.
Mm-hmm. You came at me!
Because you're a criminal, Bob. And it's my job to shut him down and put him in jail.
Well, if that's true, you're not very good at it. You're also full of shit. What have I done wrong? Really? Except make money. Succeed. All these rules and regulations, arbitrary, chalked up by politicians for their own ends. And these fines you're always going after, where do they go? Who gets them? The poor? No. The Treasury. The government. It's taxation by other means.
Save the civics lesson and the Ayn Rand bullshit. The fines are the minimum of what you should have to pay.
Oh, you decide what cases to take, and you only take the cases you won't lose. But you got it wrong with me. Because this country was built on industry and competition. So they will always have a place for me.
And maybe a few generations from now, they'll tell stories about you. Like they do Jesse James, or Billy the Kid. Oh, the myth is so fucking romantic. The rugged individual who won't back down to the unimaginative do-gooder authorities. Only in reality, those guys stole and hurt and destroyed lives. Now you say you don't think you've harmed anyone. I say that the effect is the same, worse even, because you infect the entire world.
Okay, listener says, I have to intervene here. I never reinvested in Billions' second series because the first just descended into cliche and am-dram style acting. It was awful. Sorry, says Annette.
Next.
The second series was a complete league above the first,
I thought. And you wonder, can they maintain that momentum? But I just read a review of the first episode of the third series and it's right back into it and it's better than ever. So,
of course, the only problem I have is that it's coming out week by week.
Yeah.
And I've
gotten so used to binging now
because if Billions came out all together in a block, I'd be on to it for the whole weekend.
Aoife has all this joy ahead of her now.
I know, exciting. It's always nice to
rack up
Sky Atlantic for it as well. Okay, let's move on to other things. Dancing with the Stars final. Was Jake Carter the right winner, Aoife?
Well, I mean, you know, I suppose I was glad it was him rather than maybe some of the ones who got bumped off earlier on in the series, because I remember watching one week and just thinking sometimes people get away with absolute murder when they're very, very entertaining on shows. So it's good to see people who actually can dance winning those.
Do you think, though, perhaps he was at an advantage in that the vote for female split between Anna Geary and Deirdre O'Kane in the final?
Well, I suppose that's presuming that women will vote for women. You know what I mean?
I think women vote for men.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe it's the other way around. And obviously there was talk about whether or not there was kind of gender politics going on in terms of the judges and how they treated, you know, men versus women in the show. But yeah, I mean, and Anna Geary's super, super strong. You know, I mean, she's, you know, a strong woman and she's a strong dancer as well. But it's good to see people of, you know, similar abilities, I think, getting to the end of it, because it made it feel like it was a proper competition then. Because I think at certain stages you could have felt like there was entertainment value here, but is it really about the dancing? Is it ever about the dancing, though? That's the question.
Probably not. Anna Geary, though, a lot of her fans felt they weren't able to vote. RT has rejected suggestions that there was a problem with the vote line.
Yeah, they've came back and they said, you know, there was an independent auditor present at all times. In fact, obviously there was a higher quantity of voting happening, a volume of calls coming through, but they left the voting lines open for longer, and they said, you know, they're refuting any claims that there was anything untoward about the voting system on Sunday night.
It was interesting to hear that it was Cork people who were ringing up a Cork radio station to say that they'd have, as a Cork person, I'm allowed to say that. you know, yourself too much. You know, I just thought it kind of brought a smile to my face.
Wasn't there a Cork winner, though, of Ireland's Got Talent?
Well, maybe that's where all the calls are going through, but I like the idea. I was trying to vote now, Fran, and I couldn't get my text in at all now. Terrible.
Minutes.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I mean, RT say there were no issues. I'm sure all of Cork was trying to vote for Anna on today.
Okay. What I'm interested in, Alex Gibney has made many fine documentaries. What's this about Tiger Woods docu-series?
Yeah, so there's a new book coming out about Tiger Woods' life now. It's not a book that Tiger Woods wrote himself, which means that we'll actually get a lot more juicy and interesting details than we perhaps could expect. Then, you know, I think if he was writing, he'd write something quite sanitized. He's had a very, very interesting life, you know, starting off as a really young golfer and all the way up to all the kind of scandals of the last number of years. And Alex Gibney is someone who, like with the likes of Going Clear, which is an amazing book as well, he really likes to get into stories like Scientology, get into things, you know, really kind of get behind the story. So what he's going to be doing, this book only just went on sale.
It's now being adapted
into a docu-series. Mm-hmm. So that means that we'll get to see him really explore, I suppose. There's something like 400 people were interviewed for this book. So there's so much information there. It'll be so interesting to see what Gibney actually does with it. I don't think they have a broadcaster for it yet or a network for it yet, but it's something that I think people will be itching to see, because we love those sports stories. We love those characters. You think of like the OJ story. I know that was explored in drama form, but those kind of tales, the rags to riches, or the dramatic, it all explodes in drama stories.
There's a lot of drama in Tiger's life as well, you know, and it played out so publicly.
Not the most likable character, apparently, though.
That makes it more enjoyable too, I think that would
translate quite well then, yeah.
Definitely.
But so many demons, and even still, you know, there's a lot of problems there.
But he's also on a bit of a comeback. I mean, he has become competitive again recently.
I wonder how that would affect him. You know, the analysis of his private life now, yet again, when he's kind of...
His golf only went off the rails when it was discovered what he was getting up to.
You see...
There was also a serious back injury, should be said,
But he's had serious struggles with fame and all that goes with it, and obviously struggles with family life and maintaining that in the public eye.
Yeah.
So I wonder now, like, if he's on his way back, if this would have an impact on him, because there'd be a big spotlight on his past with this documentary.
There's some really good long reads out there about him. I can't remember where. I don't know if it was ESPN or somebody like that. I read a really interesting long read about Tiger Woods' particular period of his career. So there's some really interesting stuff out there. So it'll be very interesting to see what's kind of picked up and explored.
But it would be interesting to see if Alex Gibney, if he focused just, you know, the golf, it would be of limited interest to people, I imagine. But it's all the other things in his life coming in that would be thing. Okay,
100%.
One more thing before we take a break. Ant McPartlin, we were talking about last week on the program, Louise. Who was he being replaced by?
So Scarlett Moffat is going to have a bigger role, and also Stephen Mulhern. They're expanding their roles. I don't think they're particularly replacing Ant, but they're definitely giving them more time on air.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the safest way to do it. We talked about, you know, can Deck do it on his own? But he does have some big names around him. So I guess if they expand that
a bit too.
Yeah.
But it looks like a documentary that was delving into his family history, and that of Deck Donnelly now may be hitting the skids because of all of
that. Yeah, exactly. It was basically their DNA journey where they look back, you know, at their family history, similar to Who Do You Think You Are, that really, really interesting BBC series that was on. It's basically, according to insiders, touch and go as to whether the show will see the light of day. And a lot of that is to do with the fact that there's actually clips of them in a pub recorded before Ant went public with having to go to rehab. So you can understand why it might look kind of odd to have these scenes about them, you know, going for drinks in the pub. I think they were behind the bar and stuff like that. So now there's the talks of whether or not their DNA journey, which would probably be really fascinating, will actually go to air. I mean, I doubt it will at this stage, because he's been through so much over the last couple of years. It would probably look a little bit bad.
Tell us about this programme about R. Kelly, a very controversial American star, Louise.
Yeah, he's got a very dark history and a very dark past. In 2008, he was found not guilty of child pornography charges after encounters with 14-year-olds. There's been a lot of different things, like apparently he had a marriage with Aaliyah, that wonderful singer who passed away in a plane crash when she was just 15. But now there's a documentary.
He was married to her and she was 15?
Some illegal marriage, yeah. I mean, his history with underage girls is...
It's creepy in the extreme.
Incredibly.
But he's no convictions, has he?
No convictions. But yet, I mean, he's still around and he's still on the scene, even after all of that. Like, I mean, he's still releasing music. He's one of the biggest selling R&B artists in the history of R&B. He's got apparently tens of millions of album sales. Anyway, but about this documentary that's coming out on BBC Three tonight, this is a former girlfriend, Kitty Jones, who alleges that he grooms underage girls, including her and various other young women. He has refused to comment on this. But basically a very dark tale of how he keeps these women in a house and, you know, down to them asking for permission to go to the bathroom, what they wear when they sleep. He is completely controlling these young women. Now, a couple of years back, parents of one young girl came out and said that their child is, or their daughter, I think she's maybe 19 at the time, has taken up with R. Kelly and they can't get her back. And when they see her, she looks like a prisoner and is completely brainwashed. They're comparing it to a cult. So there's a documentary on that, and his former girlfriend of 2 years, Kitty Jones, talks about her experience being groomed by him, and he calls these women his pets.
Doesn't sound like the most sort of thing, daring thing to watch on television. I'm not sure it sounds so icky sounding. Does this make for a documentary you'd want to watch, Aoife?
I suppose, like, maybe there's two elements to it. Like, one is that people are always going to be intrigued about people's, you know, kind of the grim side of life. But also, you know, I think these rumours about R. Kelly have been going around for a long time. I mean, I remember listening to Aaliyah's albums when I was a teenager and hearing rumours then that he had married her, and knowing that she was only 15 at the time. So this is something that's been kind of, you know, I suppose, not so much hidden away, but kind of kept on the side while he had some really major hits in the 2000s. And it's only really in the last maybe 5 or 6 years that the talk has gotten louder and that people have been interviewed and people like Kitty Jones have been out there. You know, Jim DeRogatis did a piece for BuzzFeed News last year, and that brought back these really shocking stories that you were talking about there, about the girl whose parents were looking for her and who couldn't get a hold of her. And, you know, when you look at the era that we're in now, where you've got Me Too, you've got people being a lot more open about these sort of situations, very famous people being called out for things. It's not a surprise that R. Kelly is being called out about it, but it is interesting that he was found not guilty, obviously, of the child pornography charges back in 2008. And, you know, there must be other cases that are pending or that he's involved in that haven't, you know, that haven't come to fruition either. So it'll be interesting to see in this documentary if they delve a bit deeper into that, the allegations versus what is actually kind of happening to him, or what could happen to him in a legal kind of basis.
When he got off with the previous allegations and the court cases, he did have to pay a number of women. He did have to make a number of payments. So, I mean, it's a very murky tale. But it's amazing to me that you could go into a bar or a nightclub and R. Kelly will still be played.
He's not like Chris Brown or somebody like that, where people would make a big stand in terms of not playing their music or, in, you know, not endorsing them in some sort of way.
But you have a much more pleasant, shall we say, story. I presume it is from Netflix, a pick of the week that you're going to offer us, Louise.
Netflix, so this is a happier tale in the R&B industry. But we spoke about this before. There is a documentary that has just been released this week, following the friendship of Jimmy Iovine and Jay-Z, who are just two mega producers. We know Jay-Z, we play him all the time, but the back catalogue of Jimmy is absolutely superb. He has worked with the biggest names in the industry, and they worked together and they created beats. And this
is called The Defiant Ones.
So it's just tracks their relationship together, the success of it. They're two unlikely, it's an unlikely pairing. You would never have imagined they would have, you know, bar music and their love of R&B, that they would have much in common, but a very fruitful friendship resulted with the two of them.
Do you have a pick of the week for us?
I do, yeah. So this is for people who, like myself, are always trawling Netflix and thinking, what am I going to watch now, and spend half an hour trying to pick something. So the latest thing that I've been binge watching on it is Borderliner, which is set in Norway. So do you know, if you're fans of, like, I loved The Killing, yes, The Bridge, to the point where I went to Copenhagen and went on a walking tour of places that are in The Bridge and in The Killing. Highly recommend it. It's free as well. So I'm so into this Scandi noir thing.
That's right, actually. This is probably completely left field, but I actually watched the American version of The Killing,
set in Seattle, which was
magnificent,
was it?
Right?
Yeah.
But would you recommend the original, even with the subtitles?
It's so good. And by the end, you're like, tak, feet. You think you are literally like fluent in Danish after watching it. You know all the words, like for helvin and things like that. You could have a conversation with a person who is probably a police officer investigating a murder. That's all you could talk to. I'd highly recommend it. I mean, I know people sometimes are put off by subtitles, but sure, look, I mean, they are just brilliant.
But isn't that Scandi noir stuff a bit passe now? Isn't that sort of thing that was fashionable a few years ago?
I was into them back when they were cool, but now we're moving to Norway. So Borderliner is set in Norway, so I think they were like, lads, all of our neighbours are getting a little bit of attention for their indigenous film scenes, and this one is about a guy called Nikolai. He's played by Tobias Santelman, who's in The Last Kingdom, which is on now, and he plays a police officer who gets involved in investigating a suspected suicide. And the thing about this is it's just really good at setting up people as being, you know, really in between black and white. You know, are they good or they're bad? People are making bad decisions all the time, and it keeps you guessing, and there's a couple of twists and turns, and it's only 8 episodes long, so you can kind of binge watch it in a few days.
Talking about those Scandi ones, did you ever watch Borgen?
Oh my god, loved Borgen. And Borgen is obviously set in like the political world, so I was obsessed with that too.
I loved Borgen. Absolutely brilliant. Okay.
So good. So yes.
What's your pick of the week, Louise?
So that one, I would be quite interested in that one, but also the Jimmy Iovine and Jay-Z documentary, The Defiant Ones. But as well as that, there's something kicking off this week on Sky, and it's a new TV series where Idris Elba dramatizes 80s Hackney. So
it's comedy though, isn't it?
I think it is. Yeah, I only saw
very kind of, you know, over the top in terms of the styling and stuff like that.
He's created it as well, apparently.
Yeah, he's one of the producers of it as well. So I don't know much about it other than he is a cab driver, and it just tells a story of his life, really.
Yeah,
So it's one to watch. I just think he's a phenomenal actor.
Okay.
Sit in snow watching him.
Would you?
Dedication then.
All right, okay. What else has he been in?
Idris Elba, off the top
part
of my
Sky
head.
Sky ads. That's all I've seen. A lot of Sky ads.
He cooks dinner for his mum while she's watching Sky, and you know, so he is, off the top of my head now.
Lucifer is what's one, isn't it?
That's one of them. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, look, we will leave it there. Thank you very much, Louise Duffy, presenter of Lost to Music and Today FM, and Aoife Barry, assistant news editor of thejournal.ie, for joining us on the programme this evening.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.